Okay, we're in the middle of the Mishnah on Kaf Gimel. Okay, the Mishnah gave four different cases. I'm not going to go through all of them. I think it was four. I don't even remember anymore. The idea being that somebody marries someone and he doesn't know who he married. Okay, he doesn't know which one he married. We talked about this yesterday, that potentially it could be he sent a messenger, it's most likely, and he had a scheme with the family, and he just wasn't sure which daughter of the family was the one he was going to marry.
Or maybe they're identical twins.
The other option is the Gemara is discussing something purely theoretical. The Gemara often gets into dine sfikot, and what if there's a safek about a certain thing? So this could just be part of a context of just dine sfikot and really just getting into a situation that maybe would very unlikely occur. We talked about how it was a little similar to the two babies and you don't know which is which. That's a little more obvious that you might get mixed up, whereas two grown women and you had an agreement to marry is a little more complicated. But there were different cases of either one person not, right? So number one, you have to give her a get. She's considered married to l'chumer. So you have to give a get to both women. Okay, and you can't stay married to either one of them because maybe you're going to end up being married to your sister. Okay, to her sister, right? To your wife's sister. If really, you were supposed to be married to one and you're now take the other one, so that's your wife's sister. So there's all these issues. And then when it gets into Yibum, it gets even more complicated because how could you do Chalitza? How could you do Yibum and marry one of them when really the other one is the one you're supposed to do Yibum with? And what did we learn? She's called Achot Zekukato, right? You can't marry, if you're supposed to do Yibum with one woman, okay, here's our woman, he's supposed to do Yibum with this woman, it's forbidden for him to marry her sister. So here, since we don't know which woman is which, so it's forbidden for him to marry any one of them because maybe he's marrying his Yivama's sister, the one who he's Zakuk to marry. So then we got into more complicated cases where there's two people and each of them didn't know who married who. And then it depended whether they have one brother or whether they have two brothers. Okay, so the last case we're going to deal with is Lezeshnaim u Lezeshnaim. Okay, so the case in the Mishnah goes like this. It's if you look in the Mishnah, we'll start with the Mishnah. It's six lines from the end of the Mishnah. Lezeshnaim u Lezeshnaim. Okay, so we have two men. Okay, here's one man and here's two men. Okay, they each married two sisters, but neither one knows who they married. Each one has two brothers. Okay, this guy has two brothers here, and this guy has two brothers here. Okay, they each have two brothers. So now, what's supposed to happen? So now the Mishnah says, Achiv shel zeh choletz lechat, v'achiv shel zeh choletz lechat. First, let's deal with one woman, okay? Each side, one brother does chalitza with this woman. So now, this woman, the one who did chalitza and wasn't supposed to do chalitza, so he did nothing, basically. It was a meaningless ceremony. The one who actually did chalitza now potters this woman, because she's potter from both sides. So each of these brothers, I'm going to now remove from the picture, and remove her from the picture. They each did chalitza with her, so she's fine. Now we're left with one woman, who clearly has a chiv of yibum to one of these men, we don't know which one. Okay, so what does the Mishnah say we're supposed to do now? So now, ela echad choletz. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Zeshan or zeshan? Achiv shel zeh choletz lechat. Oh, sorry. Wait a minute. Did I zeshan or zeshan? Sorry, I skipped. I read wrong. Zeshan or zeshan? Sorry. Achiv. I said the case wrong. Let's go back. Okay. So let's just remind us where we're up to. We have two brothers married to two women. Each one doesn't know which one they married. They both die. Okay, I forgot to mention that point. They both die. Now, each of these two brothers and each of these two brothers is chayav and yibum, right? One from this side, one from this side, to each one of these women. But if one marries the wrong woman, then he's basically marrying the achot chalutzato, right? The one who's supposed to be his chalutza. So now, what does it say? Achiv shel zeh choletz lachat, v'achiv shel zeh choletz lachat. This one does yibum with chalitza with this woman, and the other brother from the other side does chalitza with the other woman. So now, each brother has freed one woman from their side. Now, this woman is now p'turah for this side. Now, if she's the yivama, she's now been chalitzad, so she's free to marry this guy. But if she belongs to the other side, the yivama, she still hasn't been dealt with, okay? Likewise for this woman. So this woman's dealt with for this side, okay, but they each still have another woman to deal with. So now, he does chalitza to one, then he does chalitza to the other. Okay, then, right, now what we're going to have. אחיו של זה חולה אצלך, ואחיו של זה חולה אצלך. אחיו של זה מייבם חלוצתו של זה, ואחיו של זה מייבם חלוצתו של זה. At this point now, since she's freed up to this side, she now goes and marries the guy on the other side. And since she's freed up to this guy, she marries the guy on the other side. So each one now is free to marry the one who's left. Because they've been free. This one clearly, if, okay, let's just go back. The one from, let's say, we'll call him brother number one and the brother number two. So the one from brother number one was freed up already, right? If she was brother number one, then they did chalitza with her. So now she's free to go to brother number two. She's a free woman. She can go marry brother number two's brother if she wants. She's just a free woman. If she was really supposed to do yibum with brother number two, then she does yibum with the guy and she's fine. And likewise, the reverse. Okay, did you follow that? Right, so they free them up first, and then they can each do yibum. Okay? So now, and then what do they say? Then the Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, and it says, Kadmu shnayim b'chaltzu. Now what if two on one side just right away did chalitza? Okay? Then that's a problem, right? Because now these both did chalitza, but these two can't do yibum because, again, we're going to have the problem. Maybe one of them is the real... If he marries the wrong one, right? He does yibum with the wrong one. He's marrying achot zekukato, right? He's marrying the sister of the one who he's supposed to do yibum with. So if they did jump ahead and do it, which we learned in the past earlier in the Mishnah, lo yibmu hashnayim, they can't both do yibum, ela echad choletz ve'echad miyaben. Okay, then... One has to do chalitza, and then the second one can do yibum, because again, she's freed up now. Either she's the real yivama, or the sister was the yivama, and she's already free because she did chalitza. Kadmu v'kansu, what if they both married, both those women, like we saw earlier in the Mishnah also, they both married, and they did yibum. Ein motzi'im miyadam. Okay, we don't force them to get divorced. Why is that? Number one, it's a safek, right? The whole question is a safek, whether she's really... Achot zekukato or not. Also, achot zekukato is only midrabanan, the issur to marry her. And also, once they each marry up, then it's already resolved. In other words, clearly she now did yibum and she's shayach to him and she's shayach to him, so there's no issues anymore once it's a done deal. Okay? So now the Gemara says on this case, we're now four lines from the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Bet. Lizeshnaim o lizeshnaim hatulamali hainu hach. Now, again, today we didn't go into this, but all the other cases in the Mishnah led up to this. Okay, we saw this yesterday. And it's basically the same thing as all the other cases. We had different cases where there was maybe only one brother on one side, or all these cases, we could have learned this without the Mishnah telling us. So now they say, right, instead of them saying it's very confusing and it's just good to go through every case with all the different ramifications and parameters of each case. But anyway, the Gemara says, really, you could have learned it out from the previous cases. So what do they say? Mau detema ligzor dilma miyabin belo chalitza kamash malan. If they're going to allow one guy on each side to do chalitza and one guy from each brother to do yibum, we're worried maybe you should have made a gzera. They're thinking, and as if the Mishnah hadn't told us this, you might have thought that the rabbis would have made a gzera not to do yibum at all, because maybe they'll accidentally, they won't remember what's the order. Chalitza, chalitza, yibum, yibum, right? They might think, oh, once... Remember, by the way, you know, all these other cases we saw with where there was a problem with just one with one guy who died, that one does chalitza and one does yibum. So you might have gotten confused and think that you could do it in the same order. That on one side will do, okay, I'll do chalitza, you'll do yibum, before the other side does chalitza. And if the other side hasn't removed the issue from the safek, then he can't do that. So you might have thought they might have made a gzera. Kamash malan that they don't make a gzera. Now the Gemara is going to ask, in this case, Maishna mehaditnan, how is this different from a Mishnah we're going to learn, which we actually already saw? Arba'a achim, shnayim mehem nisuin shtei achayot. Okay, four brothers. Two were married to two sisters, right? We have four brothers, two are married to two sisters. Remember what happens here? Both die, both sisters fall, right? They become zikukim to this one guy, to the brother number three. Now, what does the Mishnah say there? Right, what would be the obvious thing to say here that's like our Mishnah? Since there's two brothers, okay, so let's have one do chalitza and one do yibum. And in which case, we postured everything. But there we didn't say that. What did we say in the Mishnah? The two that were married to the sisters died. They can only do chalitza, they can't do yibum. And they're saying, what's the difference? Why is it any different? In this case, you should say the same thing. One does chalitza to one, potchers her, and then the other, right, and then they're no longer, brother number four is no longer connected to wife number, right, the first wife. So he can now marry wife number two, right? What's the issue here? The issue here, and this is what we're going to say in a minute, what did we say? That these two women, when they fall to Yibum, they fall to the first brother. And they're both, at that point, it's like an Isur Arayot. He's supposed to marry two sisters, and he can't marry two sisters. So there were two reasons we gave here. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, why are you comparing these? Hatam, what did we say there? There were two options. Ilaman damar yesh zika. Remember this opinion, yesh zika. What does yesh zika mean? Yesh zika means as soon as these guys die, at the moment of death, it's as if you're married to them. So if you say yesh zika, so yesh zika. Okay, what does that mean? At that moment, both women felt him at exactly the same moment, which means it's as if he's married to two sisters, and that's totally forbidden. And therefore, clearly has to do chalitza. V'i lamanda amr. Now the Gemara doesn't say this, but clearly this is the one who says that ein zika, okay, which means that we don't have to worry about that. But what's the problem? What did they say? Asur levatel mitzvah yivamim. So what does that mean? Asur levatel mitzvah yivamim means this. What are we concerned about? We don't want to. We'd rather do chalitza than have a case where there's absolutely no yibum. What could be the case of absolutely no yibum here, where they'd be pturot? So if brother number three marries the first wife, okay. What's going to happen? What if he dies before brother number four marries the second wife? If he were to die before that, she, without kids, she would fall to Yibum together with her sister to brother number four, and both of them would be Isur Arayot at that point. Since there's only one brother and two sisters fall, clearly, right, they're going to be Pturot, and in which case we've now been Mevatel a mitzvah of Yibum that we could have done.
But that's only if there's Zika.
No, that's only if there isn't Zika. No, because even if you say there's no Zika, if a man is supposed to marry two sisters, now two of them have fallen to Yibum with him at the same time, then it's a problem because each one is Asur Mishumachot Zekukato. So now they have to be thrown out. It's Isur Arayot. If two sisters fall to one guy, it's a problem. The whole question was, what if two sisters fall to two brothers? Maybe we could resolve it somehow. Right? So if you do chalitza to each one, that's great. Then each one has chalitza. But if they both fall, if brother number three could potentially die, and then they both fall to brother number four before he dealt with the Yibum with the other one, then we'd end up with a situation where, right, and that's, we learned this in the past, and we said, it's like some, just in case something were to happen, right, it's a suffix, it's not sure, clear that that would happen. In fact, it's kind of rare that before the next guy would do Yibum, right, he'd already die. But basically, because of that, they said, Asur levatel mitzvah yivamim, and that's why this doesn't work. So now, if that's the reason, then Asur levatel mitzvah yivamim. Now, those two reasons, either yesh zika or Asur levatel mitzvah yivamim, don't apply in this case. Hacha, in our case, okay, they don't exactly say these words, but basically the difference is there it's a vadai, and here it's a suffix, right? We don't know which woman is which. Right? Only one of these two sisters is chayav to do yibum. We don't know which one. And therefore, hacha kocha v'chad imor, each brother can say, didei kamit ram yale. Each one can say, oh, the one that fell to me is the one who's supposed to be my yivama. Okay? In which case, he can marry her. So in the end, they say, this case is different than the achayo case, because here's a safek and there's a vadai. When there's a vadai, you can't do it, because you have to say yesh zika and or asur levatel mitzvah yivamim. But in this case, we don't have any of those criteria, and basically we say, each one can potentially say, this isn't my yivama. Okay. Last part on this mission, and then we're going to get to much more simpler things. Kidmu v'kinsu emotim. What if they went ahead and married them, right? The two brothers that were left went, I'm sorry, the kidmu v'kinsu, if in the beginning, right, the, and the end, what's, one second, this is in the case of, oh, this should be kidmu v'chatsu. Oh, right. So, kidmu v'chatsu, if the first two did chalitza, the two, instead of doing 1-1, 1-1, right, the two from one side did chalitza, then what do they say? Lo yivmu ashnayim alecha choletz v'chama yabim. Now, then the two that are left from the other brother, right? One does chalitza, one does yibum. And then we say, what if they both marry them? So emi simi adam. That's okay. So now, Tana Shila is a brayta that Shila brought. Bafilu shnehem kohanim. Even if they're kohanim. Now, what would be the issue if they're kohanim? One of these women is a chalutza. Understand? The brothers did chalitza with both these women, right? Now,
One
was ineffective and one was effective. So the one that's ineffective, she's not a chalitza. There's nothing wrong with her. But the one that was effective, she's a chalitza. So even if these brothers are kohanim, we allow them to marry the safek chalitza. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say, my taima. So what do they answer? Chalutza de rabbanan he, a safek chalutza lo gazra bo rabbanan. I don't know if you recall this, but in the Torah it says, right, he can't marry grusha. It doesn't say he can't marry chalutza. They just learn, the rabbis learn, the chalutza is like a grusha. She's basically a rejected woman. So it's the same kind of idea. So what do they say? The hatanya, what do you mean chalutza de rabbanan? They learn it out from the pasuk. Grusha, emi ala grusha. What does the pasuk say? V'isha grusha mi'isha lo yikachu. So what do we say? The pasuk says grusha eli ala grusha chalutza minai. Where do we learn chalutza? The Brita says Talmud lomar vi'isha, right? It has a vav. The vi'isha comes to include the vav, adds in the chalutza. So what do you see? Oh, it's midoraita. They learn it out from a pasuk. So they say no midorabanan hu ukras machta ba'almahu. Okay, it's just midorabanan, and they connect it to the pasuk. It doesn't mean we've seen this many times before. Where the rabbis say even though we learn it out of a pasuk, it's really just using the pasuk sort of as a mnemonic device, as a way to recall the halacha, but really a chalutza is just a stormi derabbanan. Now we're going to start with the issue of, we're going to see two mishnayot today. The first one is dealing with the order of yibum, okay? Much more simple things. We're not getting into relationships between different people now. Now we're talking about who does the mitzvah of yibum fall upon. So we learned mitzvah begadol liyabem, okay? The Mishnah says this. We learned it before also. The mitzvah is on the oldest. V'im kidem akatan zacha. What if the youngest one in the family jumps in and is miyabim her? Does that work? So they say yes. Now, why would you even think, like, what's the issue here? So first of all, what's clear here is this is all a financial thing going on here. If you do yibum, you get the nachala of your brother. We're going to see this in the Gemara now. So the Mishnah is trying to say that if you're the katan and you wanted the money, right, you're after the money basically. So you want your brother's money, you want his nachala. So you go ahead and do yibum. We might have thought, well, that's not appropriate and you can't do it. But the halacha tells us that if you did it anyway, it's still takef, it works, okay? And the nachala is yours and the wife is yours, okay? But really, a lot of what we're going to see now is this all had to do with nachala, okay? What they wanted, the property, they wanted the money of the brother. Okay, so now we're going to see where this comes from. Tana Rabbana. Okay, you have to know this pasuk. I brought in the pasuk on the sheet. Okay, if you look toward the halfway down the sheet, it says Matnid Misvag Vigadol Yabim, and then I brought the pasuk from Dvarim Perek Kapei Pasuk Vav. V'haya haBechor Asher Teled Yakum Al Shem Achiv Hamet V'lo Yimachesh Shmo MiYisrael. Okay, the Bechor that's born, he is supposed to be called Al Shem Achiv Hamet. This pasuk has a lot of difficulties in it. Now, what do you think the pshat of this pasuk is about? Who's it talking about? Who's the bechor?
The child born
from the yabam and the yivamah. Right. Yafeh. So then it should say yakum Hashem aviv hamet, not achiv hamet. Okay. And then lo yimachesh shmo biYisrael sounds like it's talking about the bechor, right? It's unclear what's referring to what. So the Gemara, basically the Braita, is going to take this pasuk totally out of the pshat and say that the Bechor is not the Bechor. Oh, I wanted to just mention one thing. This Mishnah, by the way, doesn't really belong here in terms of the context, because it really belongs in Perek Daled when they talk about all this kind of stuff. But they brought it here, just like the next Mishnah also, because they're going to talk about situations. In the previous Mishnah, we talked about a situation, if you did it anyway, what's the halacha? So this also was here because if the Katan did it anyway, he gets to stay in the marriage, okay? Next Mishnah, we're going to see one situation where if he did it anyway, it's okay. One situation where it's not okay, I think, if I remember correctly. Anyway, that's just structurally where these are falling. So now, v'haya ha-bechor, the Braita says, mikan she-mitzvah b'gadol li-yabem. The bechor is referring to the brother of the guy who died, not the son that's born, okay? So here you learn that it's a mitzvah b'gadol li-yabem. Asher teled, pra lailonit she'ena yoledet. Okay. What does that mean? Asher teled means only a woman who can have a child, which comes to exclude a woman who can't have a child. A woman who can't have a child can't do the mitzvah. She can't be a yivama. Yakum al shem achiv. What does that mean? Right. What did you think it meant? What did you think yakum al shem achiv?
The brother's
he should be called by his father's name, right? I mean, nowadays he would get the same last name, let's say, right? But you might say he should get the first name, right? What do they say now? Linachala. It means the bechor, meaning the brother, okay? Asher tele, meaning he has to marry someone who could potentially have children. And then he gets the schut of having the nachala of his brother. Okay, now they say, Ata Omer, now they're going to question this assumption, but they're going to prove it from the psukim. Ata Omer lenachala u'enuela l'shen. Is it for nachala or is it for the name? Yosef korim lo Yosef. Yochanan korim lo Yochanan, right? If the father's name was Yochanan, so they would call the son Yochanan. No, why not? Ne'amar kan, we're going to learn a gzera shava. Yakum al shem achiv. V'ne'amar lahalan al shem achehem yikar'u b'nachalatam. Where does this come up? When Yosef's sons get blessed by Yaakov, Ephraim and Menashe, he says to them, Ephraim and Menashe are going to have their own nachala, right? They're the only brothers, right? The only sons who have nachala called by their name. And any other sons of Yosef are going to be part of Ephraim and Menashe, okay? It's like if you have four kids, you say, I'm giving nachala to my first two, and anyone else is going to be called by their name. That's going to get their portion, basically. Share with them. So, ma shem ha'amor lahalan, here you have the same lashon. Al shem yikar'u, right? The same thing. Kri al shem. So, ma shem ha'amor lahalan nachala, av shem ha'amor kan lenachala. There it's talking about nachala, here it must be also talking about nachala, inheritance. Okay, v'lo yimacheshmo, we're going to go on in the pasuk. What do we learn from there? L'saris sheshmo machoy, sorry, prat l'saris sheshmo machoy. If the man himself couldn't have had children, okay, then his shmo is machoy anyway. So there's no problem of v'lo yimacheshmo miYisrael because he died. He anyway wouldn't have had a shem, and therefore there's no chiyuv of yibum. Okay, now here's a really interesting line. Amar Rava, af al gav de b'chol ha'tarakula em mikra yotze midei pshuto. What do we have here? What does he say? In general, when we darshan a pasuk, we just darshan a pasuk. We took it totally out of the hekshir. We said the bechor is not the bechor of the child. It's not yikare shmo, it's the nachala. We basically learned that this is not according to the pshat. Now, whenever you do a drasha against the pshat also stays. There's a pshat level and there's a drash level. He said, except for in this case. In this case, the pasuk is okir this pasuk from the pshat, and we no longer learn it on a pshat level. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to question this. Ilav gzera shava hava min Hashem shem mamash. So now they say, hava min Hashem shem mamash. If there wasn't a gzera shava, now they're questioning this whole gzera shava. Why did you need a gzera shava to teach you this? If we didn't have Gzera Shava, you would have thought it meant Shem Mamash. It doesn't make any sense. And this is what Ruth brought up, the problem in the Pasuk. Leman Kamizhar Rahmana. Who is the Torah talking to in this Pasuk? If he's talking to Liyabam, if he's talking to the Yabam and saying, right, you're going to get the Nachala, Yakum Al Shem Achicha Mibayale. It should have said, right, you will be Yakum Al Shem Achicha, your brother, not Yakum Al Shem Achiv. If it's talking to the Beit Din, Yakum Hashem Achi, it should say Yakum Hashem Achi Aviv Mibayle. Should have said, right? He should get the name of the brother of his father. So now they say no. V'dilma hachi kamaluhu rachmana. Maybe this is what the pshat of the pasuk should have read. Le Beit Din, and the Beit Din Amru Leli Abam Yakum Hashem Achiv. El Atek Zera Shava Afite Legamre Afite Legamre. Okay, so now what do they say? The pshat would have been that, because they're basically saying there is no pshat here. The pshat doesn't work at all. They're saying, no, we can make the pshat work. That's, their assumption is, since the pshat doesn't work, it must be obvious that it doesn't mean he'll be called by his father's name or he'll be called by the brother's name of the Yabam, because there's no way that would work anyway, those words. So it must be that there is no pshat even. And therefore, you don't even need a gzera shava. It must mean nachala is the pshat. So then they say, no. You still need the gzera shava. Why? Because the pshat of this pasuk would be like this. The Beit Din says that Bahaya Abachor Asher Teled Yakum Al Shem Achiv. The Beit Din is Kovea, right? They'll be Kovea that when the son is born, he'll be called by the brother's name of the Yabam. Okay? And as they say to the Yabam, he'll be called by your brother's name. It still doesn't work 100% because if they're trying to the Yabam, it should say Yakum Al Shem, your brother. It still is not 100%. Anyway, they try to say that there's like a third person here, and that's why it's in third person, because there's someone else coming in, and that's the Beit Din. And they're telling the Yabam that you should be called by your brother's name, and therefore we need the Gzeirah Shavah to tell us that's not the way to learn this pasuk. This pasuk should be learned differently. Okay. Now they say, Hashadamar Krabi Gadol Ktiv, Ema Bechor Liabem, Pashut Lo Liabem. Now they're going to have a whole slew of drashot where they say, if really we're learning all this out from Bechor, the word Bechor, there must be something unique about a Bechor in the Halachot of Yibum. Okay, now what are these? Until now, what have we learned? That it just means the Gadol, right? The oldest one marries. But the oldest one, it could have said Gadol. It didn't need to say Bechor. By the way, I don't know what to make of all this, but clearly, if we're talking about Nachala, right, we know the Bechor has special halachot with Nachala in the first place, right? The Bechor always kind of takes, you have to remember also, in the times of the Tanakh, Bechor was a very, it's not like nowadays, right? The oldest has some significance, but in those days, the oldest was really, and this comes up all over Tanakh, it's actually, it's also the problem, that the Bechor isn't always worthy in all Breshit, the Bechor gets rejected. And in Shmot, right, the Bechorim were supposed to do the Avodah, in the end it's Shevet Levi instead. And the Bechorim get rejected. There's all this rejection of the Bechorim. But despite all the rejections of the Bechorim, the institution of Bechor is very strong in the time of the Torah. Okay? You have the Bechor of Paro is killed, Makat Bechorot. You have the Bechorim, in theory, were chosen. You could say it's like a natural-born leader, the Bechorim. They were supposed to be, anyway. That's the idea. So, again, they get Pishnaim of Nachala. So it makes sense, maybe, that Yibum would have something special related to Bechor, and especially because the Torah chose the word Bechor here. So now they're going to have a whole slew of odd questions, I would call them, because they're so against what we would have thought, but they're kind of going to suggest them and then reject them. So since it says, right, Hashadamrat Krabi Gadol Ktiv, that means the oldest, or the Ema Bechor Liabem Pashalo Yabem, maybe it means only the oldest son can do Yibum. Meaning, if there's no oldest son, right, a pashut, a regular guy who's not a bechor, can't do yibum. So then they say, no, that can't be, because why? Im kain, eish dachiv shelo haya ba'olamo demiyei rachman alamali. There would never be a case of eish dachiv shelo haya ba'olamo. Remember we said that's an erva. That's obviously a younger brother. So they say, no, maybe, parach rabacha, ve'ema lemi'ute bochur de'ima. Maybe you could have a bechor. Okay, here you have the older brother. Then you have a new brother who's just born after he dies already. So he's clearly not the Bechor of this family, but maybe he's a Bechor to his mother. Maybe the father went and married a new wife, and this he's a Bechor. He has to have the name Bechor in him. So the Gemara says, obviously, this is ridiculous. Why? Because we're talking about Bechor of Ima, right? If the whole thing is he has to be a Bechor, because there's some special uniqueness of a Bechor relating to Nachala, well, this Bechor was a Bechor from his mother. He doesn't get any Zchuyot of Nachala. Only a Bechor to a father would have Zchuyot of Nachala. So that's not a good question. Ve'ema, maybe you should say this then. Not that only the Bechor can do Yibum, but ki'ika Bechor titkayim mitzvah Yibum. Ki'leika Bechor lo titkayim mitzvah Yibum. Maybe you want to say that Yibum can only happen if there's a Bechor in the family. It could be the younger brother could do it, but there has to be a Bechor in the family. Meaning, for example, if the guy who died was the Bechor, then there would be no mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, again, it seems like a ridiculous assumption, but they're raising these questions because of the word Bechor in the Pasuk. Amar kra, umet echad mehem. Right, it says, ki yeshvu achim yachdav, umet echad mehem. Echad mehem sounds pretty random, right? Could be the older one, could be the younger one. Milo askinan demi Bechor, va'am rachman eliyabim katan. Right, the assumption is, it's likely that, you know, the older one died, and the younger one does Yibam, so you can't say that. Then they say, no, maybe you could say, ve'ema demit katan va'am rachmana liyabim bechor. Maybe, right? Maybe it means ki yeshvu anashim yachdav, and the younger one dies and the bechor is left. So then they say no, because hamiyei rachmana esh tachiv shelo haya b'olamo. Again, you have the issue. How could they be mumayit esh tachiv shelo haya b'olamo if it's always the katan dying and the older one being left? Ve'ema, maybe you could say this though. Ki leka bechor kidem katan zacha. Ve'ika bechor kidem katan lo zacha. Then maybe this bidyevet halacha we saw in the Mishnah, if the katan does it anyway, it's okay. That only works when there's no bechor. But if there's a bechor, the bechor always has to do the yibum, and it won't work if someone else does it. And they say no, because amar kra ki yesh vo achim yachdav huksha yeshivat achim zel azeh. The achim in this pasuk are very; they're not mentioned at all who they are. It's as if all the achim are the same, and therefore everyone's potential in the mitzvah is the same. Ve'ema ki'ika, right? Even though there's an order of hierarchy who should do it, but in the end, any of them could potentially do it, even if there's a b'chor and the katan does it. Ve'ema, maybe we should say ki'ika b'chor lehadra gadol, ki le'kara b'chor ein chozrim etzal gadol. Maybe this halacha that you have to go in order of who's the oldest is only if the oldest is still alive. But if the oldest isn't there, there's no b'chor, then maybe it doesn't matter the order. Maybe that's what we should say. But then, alamatane, why does it say in the Braita? Alamatane abakashisha. Why did abakashisha learn this Braita? Mitzvah begadol yabem, lo ratza, hochim etzal achiva katan. Lo ratza, chozrim etzal gadol. So now, there's a little bit of a shinoi nuscha'ot here. This doesn't 100% prove it, but some people say the nusach is really that it goes in order. In other words, they really say, you know, you go from number one to number two to number three to number four, and it seems very clear that that there's an order, and it has to go from brother to brother, and that there's not, so no such thing as a random order, even if there's no b'chor. Yeah.
I know I missed a lot, so sorry.
That's okay.
Like the story of Ruth, they're very careful about the order.
Yes.
Like Boaz was very careful.
Yes, so clearly,
and also in Yehuda, they went from one
this is all, that's why I said, the Gemara is raising silly. They're raising all sorts of possibilities that clearly aren't true. They're kind of questioning the obviousness of what you're saying. They're trying to say, is it so obvious? And maybe not. And in the end, they're going to say, yes, it is. There is an order, and it goes very clearly. Okay? You know, what happens there is really, he wants the Nachala. In the end, he realizes he has to take the woman also, and he doesn't want her because she's a Moavi. So, you know, that's what's going on there. This issue of the Ploni Almoni. He wants the Nachala, but then he doesn't want it because he doesn't want to have to deal with Ruth also. Okay, so now, what do they say? So from here, what do you see? That really the order is important. Ma b'chor, so now they say, it's like a ki b'chor. Now, what do they say? It's like a b'chor. Ma b'chor b'chorato garmalo. Ap gadol gedulato garmalo. Okay? It means that the b'chor doesn't mean specifically b'chor. It means older, oldest, older, right? It seems to indicate the older gets priority. Ve'ema kim b'yabim b'chor lishkol nachala. Kim b'yabim pashut lo yishkol nachala. Now they have a great assumption. Maybe the b'chor issue is really tied integrally to the fact that the b'chor takes over more nachala. And that the Nachala goes to the Bechor only if he's the Bechor. But if you do Yibam and you're the younger brother, you just get the woman, you don't get the Nachala. So they say, no, Amar Kra, Yakum Hashem Achiv, Vahare Kam. In other words, Yakum Hashem Achiv, they said is Nachala, so any Yavam who does it, gets it. Ve'ela Bechor Dekari Rahman Alamai Hanchita. So now they say, well then why did they say Bechor? They should have just said Gadol. Right? This is what they were really struggling with. Why does it say Bechor in this Pasuk? What are they coming to teach you? So now they say, it comes to teach you dafka something negative about the Bechor. Until now, we thought the Bechor is a Bechor, he has chuyot, and maybe that something to do with it. Now they're going to say, no, there's something the Bechor doesn't get. And that's what it comes to teach us the Yavam doesn't get. And here there's two interpretations. Maybe I'll explain both of them. Ma Bechor eino notel b'ra'oy kevimuchzak. Ap hai eino notel b'ra'oy kevimuchzak. Now they're going to teach us a halacha about Yerusha. If you're a Bechor, you get pishnayim. What do you get pishnayim of? You get pishnayim of whatever property your father had at the time of death. Now, what if your father had property that was later, you know, somebody took out a loan and paid him back later, and that money comes to the estate at a later time? You basically get whatever everyone else gets at that point. You don't get pishnayim of that extra part. So now the question is, what happens here? So now when they say, just like this, the Yavam, okay, now let's say there were three brothers, okay? So three brothers, one dies. Now two are left. So one gets the nachala of the dead brother because he does yibum with the wife. So he gets the wife and he gets all of his brother's property. So he's got now his portion and his brother's portion. Now there's two options. Either you say that we're going to compare the guy who died to the father in a regular case. So that means that if he had money owed to him, money that comes into his property estate after, that doesn't go directly to the brother. I guess it must get divvied up by all the brothers equally, okay? Or maybe it means that if their father's still alive, okay, let's call him the father. If their father's still alive, then when their father dies and his estate gets divided up, he doesn't get also the brother's portion, also his portion. Basically, the estate just gets divided up by whatever brothers are left evenly, okay? So either it's talking about the brother's property that isn't yet in the estate, or it's talking about the father who hasn't yet died and his property that's not yet divvied up. So it's unclear what we're talking about here. But those are two gishot in the Mefarshim. But in either which way, what do you see here? That he's like a bechor in the sense that he inherits dinei Yerusha, apply the same principle, ligriuta. That means against, right? They're less strengthening for him. It means you get his Yerusha exactly at the time of death, but you don't get anything more than that. Okay. Now we're going to get to Inyana Diyoma. Okay, yesterday the Chok HaGiyur was passed through the first, you know, it moved from the it's now going to move basically to be discussed and possibly, I don't know if it'll pass, but dealing with these issues of Giyurim, that the Rabbanut has suspicions about them, right, and whether the Rabbanut will accept conversions from alternative Batei Din, right, that's one of the main issues about part of the issue of Giyur in this country is basically that there's people who convert, and they don't necessarily want to be mekabel all mitzvot. They might be doing it just because they want to marry people. And the Rabbanut has a lot of sfeikot about whether we can accept these giyurim or not. So that's going to come basically out of our sugya. Okay, first let's learn the Mishnah, and then we'll see the machloket and the Gemara about this. Hanit'an ala shifcha v'nishachrera. If someone suspects that they were sleeping around with a shifcha, and then the shifcha gets freed, oh, al ha'ovedi kochavim. Okay, he was sleeping with a non-Jew, vinit gaira, and then she converts. Okay, so there's rumors about him, basically. Harezeh lo yichnos, v'im kines, emotzi miyado. Okay, he's not allowed to marry her, because why? It will give credence to those suspicions that people say, you see, I knew he was sleeping around. But if he marries her, emotzi miyado, we don't force him to divorce her. Hanit anal eshet ish. Now, what if people say? He's cheating with some married woman, okay? This married woman is cheating on her husband. Vehotzi'u amitachat yado, and her husband divorces her because he thinks she's cheating on him. Af alpi shekines yotzi. If the other guy marries her, okay, the guy she was suspected of cheating with, he has to divorce her. He's not allowed to stay married to her. Okay, so we're going to get to the second case in a few minutes. First, we're going to start with the first case.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll be on hold with that one. I want you to focus right now first on the Ovedei Kochavim. Ha giyoret miyahavya. What's the assumption the Gemara says from this? It sounds like what happens if she's mitgayer. Basically, the assumption is why was she mitgayer? To be with this guy. Now, what does the halacha say? He's not allowed to marry her. What does it mean, imply? Other people can marry her, though. She's a giyoret, okay? She just can't be with him because people are going to say, oh, look, I told you were sleeping with a non-Jewish woman. Urimini, and that contradicts this braita. Echad ish shenitgayer l'shum isha, ve'echad isha shenitgara l'shum ish, v'chein, mi shemitgayer l'shum shulchan malachim, someone who wants to be at the king's table, a Jewish king. So he marries just to kind of be in with the king. L'shum avdei shlomo, to be like avdei shlomo. Einam gerim, divrei Rabbi Nechemiah. Shaya Rabbi Nechemiah omer, echad gerei arayot, what are gerei arayot, you remember this? The shomronim, when they, what happened? When Ashur came and made the Bnei Yisrael, he took Machut Shomron and he made them go into Galut, right? There was Machut Yudah, Machut Shomron, right? Machut Israel. He took the kingdom of Israel, right? The ten Shvatim, and he sent them to Galut, and he brought in other nations to live in there. That was his whole theory, right? Let's just displace people. If we displace them, they'll be much less powerful. They won't be in their native places. So what happened to the people who came to Shomron? That's why they're called the Shomronim. They started, I mean, it's unclear if the Shomronim of today are really from there, but the concept is, that at those times they were called the Shomronim. What happened to them? They came in, moved into Shomron, and all of a sudden, lions started coming and attacking them. And they said, oh my God, what's going on? And they found a Jewish Kohen who explained to them the laws, and they started keeping the laws because they were fearing for their lives. That's not a legit conversion. That's because you're scared of lions. Okay, so obviously, it's not always fear of lions, but it's fear of whatever it might be. Okay, that's if somebody says, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was told, right? You've probably heard stories like this, right? In the dream, somebody told me I have to go convert to Judaism. Okay? What happened there? Nafal pachdam, I'll call it, right? Their fear, again, the fear factor. Einam gerim ad shiitgaru bazman hazeh. Okay, they're not considered gerim until, now this is Rabbi Nechemiah, right? Until, this is a very strange lashon, sheitgaru bazman hazeh. So the Gemara immediately says, bazman hazeh, salkadata. What are you talking about? Ela ema ki bizman hazeh. Okay, what does that mean, ki bizman hazeh? Ki bizman hazeh means, like nowadays, we're living in galut and things are no good for us anymore. Okay, now this is a very relevant thing. They don't want Jewish people converting to Judaism when the Jews are like at the top of the world and they rule everything around, like in Mordechai Vester, everything was great, or Avdei Shlomo, right? People wanted to be part of the Jewish people because it was such a great flourishing, right? So the question is, what is nowadays considered, right? Nowadays, on the one hand, we have our own country and people come, the Russians, right? A lot of Russians came here because there were opportunities, there was democracy, they wanted. On the other hand, you know, they fight in our army and there's wars and it's not like it's so hunky-dory and everything's so perfect and we live in this perfect country. So, you know, it's a big question how you treat nowadays. Is it like that or not? So he says you can only accept converts when things aren't good for the Jewish people, and then you know people are coming for the right reasons. Okay, clearly they're all concerned for what are the reasons people are converting for. So now we have this braita of Rabbi Nechemia that says we can't accept any of these conversions, people who convert just for marriage and other reasons. And our Mishnah that seems to imply they converted just for marriage, it's okay. And it's, yes, they can't marry this guy because they were suspect they were sleeping with them beforehand, but
conversions are valid.
The conversions are valid. I mean, not to mention that a lot of these people who convert for marriage were living together before, and Dafka have this issue of Hanit An Al Aved Kochavim. Okay, so now the Gemara answers Ha'itmar Allah, but it was said about that braita, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derav Halacha Kedivrei HaOmer Kulam Gerim Hem. Okay, the opinion is Halacha is like the one who says they're all gerim. Okay, so then the Gemara asks very simply, then it should be okay for him to marry her. But then they say, no, you're confusing two things. One is, are they legitimate converts? Number two is the guy who is suspect able to marry, and that's a separate reason. Mishum de Rav Asi. Tam Rav Asi, hasemim chayek shut peo luzut svatayim. Steer clear from anything that makes you look bad, right? In other words, this looks suspect if you were living with her before, or people thought you were, and then that's no good. But yes, we can actually convert them. Okay, the last source we're going to see on this, and then I want to just mention something briefly about halacha lamase. Tanu Rabbanan. The Mefarshim say B'yimei David, people were scared of David. The Lo B'yimei Shlomo, there everything was flourishing and prosperous, and that's why they wanted to convert the B'yimei Shlomo. Okay, so they say, we can't take Gerim, not in Yimot HaMashiach, and it's just like they didn't accept Gerim in the time of David or in the time of Shlomo. Again, for the concept, either fear or everything's going to be perfect for the Jews and people are going to want to do this. Amar Bilez, or Mikra, where do you find a pasuk that supports this? Hein yagur yagur efes mauti kigaritcha alecha yipol. They say the gur yagur and gar is a reference to a ger. What does this mean? If they live with you, what's efes mauti? Efes mauti means that I am not in the picture and God is not there. Okay, so mi garitcha, whoever is a ger and lives with you, alecha yipol. He's going to be part of your tradition. Okay, he'll be part of your religion. In other words, he's in. If he does it when efes meoti, when I'm not in the picture, okay, when things are bad, but when things are good, we don't accept him as a ger. Aval idach, right, the assumption from this pasuk is idach, if it's not in that time, but it's a time when God is fully there and clear to everybody, then lo, then we don't accept them. Okay, now the Rambam paskins, based on this Gemara, he paskins that basically we accept gerim if they do it for marriage, however, we accept them only l'chumra. They're not gerim. That until we prove that they really legitimately would have done this without being for marriage purposes, if someone wants to come and convert for marriage, we can't accept them. Okay, now what does it mean we can't accept them? So we don't know. We're safek. Maybe they're really doing it legitimately. There's no way to prove it, right? So he says that they're not considered Jews for sure until you prove that they're really Jews, okay, that they really did it legitimately. So based on that, the Rambam's psak is very prevalent and it creates a lot of problems. So with the rabbis today, when they convert people, what they try to do is they ask them very specifically, if it weren't for this person, would you still want to be part of the Jewish people? And right, obviously it's a very hard question and hard for anyone to say, but that's like the test. In other words, you have to try to figure out, is this person, you know, do they want to be Jews regardless of that, right? In other words, they're coming to it from the fact that they met this person and they want to do this, but do they really legitimately want to be Jews, even if that person weren't in the picture? And that's like the real, one of the big questions that comes up nowadays about this issue. And I mean, you see here, it's interesting that in the Gemara, there's a big, in the Tanaim already, there's a big machloket. Do we accept Gerim like this, or do we not accept Gerim like this, and how do we relate to it? Okay. So I think we'll stop here and we'll start tomorrow with the Oveid Kochavim and the Eshet Ish. Okay, so we'll pick up tomorrow from here.